Well, welcome, everybody. It's a Community Corrections Partnership to convene. Call the meeting to order, and I have 8:30. So we'll start off with a roll call, and I'll hand it over to Violet.
Chip Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kinzel for Zimmer, here.
Public Defender Kang.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Larry McCurtain for Sheriff Youngblood.
Director Burrows. Chief Terry.
Here.
Administrator Olvera. Director Murillo.
Bonnie Sandoval for Leo Murillo.
Executive Director Corson.
Here.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Ellison.
Here.
Superintendent Mandiboro.
Amanda Thomas for Superintendent Mandiboro.
Thank you. Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to consent agenda, an opportunity for public comment on the consent agenda. All items listed with the CA are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the board or public wishes to comment or ask questions. If comment or discussion is desired by anyone, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and will be considered in the listed sequence with an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board concerning the item before the action is taken. Staff recommendations are shown in caps after each item. And for this agenda, it's item CA1 and CA5. Is there any comment on the consent? All right, seeing none, I'll take a motion.
So moved. Corson.
Second.
Second, Kinzel.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. And that brings us to item number 2, public presentations. So the public is provided the opportunity to comment on any agenda items at the time those agenda items are discussed by the CCP. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the CCP on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the CCP. CCP members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, and through the CCP, make a referral to staff for factual information or request staff to report back to the CCP at a later meeting. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record before making your presentation. Do we have any public presentations?
My name is Janice Marvel, and I brought two ladies from Many Marvels to share their experience, strength, and hope with you guys.
Awesome.
Amanda.
Good morning, Amanda.
Hello, guys. My name is Amanda Dahlman, and I have been at Many Marvels since...
How to spell your name, babe?
Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, Dahlman, D-O-L-L-M-A-N. So I have been at Many Marvels since my release from prison in October. About 2 weeks after I got out, I went to stay with family, but I knew that just working was not going to help my recovery. So I reached out to my probation officer. He was able to find me somewhere in Bakersfield. I'm not from the area. I'm from Ridgecrest. So I really wasn't sure what options I really had. So when I first got there, I had about a year clean after my prison term, and I actually relapsed in the community. And in my addict mind, I kept thinking, okay, I have to go back out there because I can't stay here, this and that. But the director, Cecilia, and the owner, Jasmine, actually slammed me with consequences and held me accountable, but I chose to stay and stick through it because I know that I want a better life for myself. So with that, I was able to sign up for college. I'm a full-time college student now, and I work on campus as a student worker. With their help, I was able to go to court, and I have visitation of my daughter every weekend. And just I'm able to be a productive citizen now, something that, like, I have resources out here that I never would have thought. I was able to obtain a sponsor and just have that comfort knowing that it's okay that I relapsed just to get back up. So with that being said, I'm so grateful that I did. They didn't treat me like I was just another addict off the street. They treated me like I was human. And that really made all the difference. So I'm now able to work, go to school, pay my bills, and I have my own car now, just 5 months being out and all that. I'm super grateful for this program. It hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. I'm actually due to leave. My 6 months is up next month, and although they told me no, my probation officer is trying to get me an extension because I just started working, and so I don't think that I can really go into the community yet without having, like, you know, the funds. So, thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Miss Kizzy Staples. M-S-K-I-Z-Z-I. Last name is Staples. I came to Mini Marvel September 26th after doing a 2 month term in Largo. I didn't really want to be there. I planned on leaving. But something told me to be still, and so I stayed. I enrolled in all the classes that were being asked of me because my daughter went into custody January 13th of 22. I was at risk of losing my daughter. Well, I then got into all the classes asked of me by CPS and probation, and I completed those classes. And just a 4 month, between like 4 and 5 month span, when most of them took like 6 months to complete. I was on the monitor. I went in on the monitor. I completed the monitor in December 22nd. I have now finished the program. I completed February 14th, and I'm home with my family. My daughter is getting ready to come home in 30 days. I'm also a full-time student at BC. I moved to back home to Ridgecrest, so I do commute out here twice a week for school. But this program, the staff, the women, it's given me my life back. And I did just have another baby. I was able to leave the hospital with my son on February 17th. I have a sponsor. I work my steps. I stay connected with my program. It's something that I never thought I would be able to do on my own. And I'm grateful today for just having an opportunity to be a better person in the regular everyday society than a minister society. And I give all my thanks and love to Jasmine and Cecilia because I have my life back today.
Thank you for sharing.
Hello, folks. My name is Lynn Huckabee, L-Y-N-N-H-U-C-K-A-B-Y. I'm sorry. And first off, I want to say it's an honor to be here. I want to try to articulate where maybe I can make some change. I heard something that was at the previous provider meeting, the CBO meeting, that really troubled me, clinged down to my core. What it was stated, and they say that we signed an agreement, and basically what they're saying is a person not only has to be 18 months away from a prior criminal conviction, but he also has to be 18 months off of probation, and that's not the way it's ever been. I was the very first AB-109 provider. I met with a lieutenant and a couple of sergeants and a few people, and we talked about autonomy. We talked about different blackouts, restrictions, you know, how our program was going to run. And I remember Lieutenant Gonzalez telling me, he said, "I'm not going to tell you how to run your program as long as you don't try to tell me how to run my jail." And we shook hands. And then probation called me, and this is before we started the next proposal where everybody was putting proposals in to become AB-109 providers. And so probation wanted to pick my brain. And I told them the 60s did a pretty good job of that. And, you know, but they came out and we talked the same. Okay? So Ms. Green sent me, and I'm going to read it real quick. And maybe most of you guys have already read it. And so I've read it, I've reread it, I've had a dozen people read it. And it says, administration staff and volunteer interns must not have any felony convictions on their record within the past 18 months of the date of employment or under any active form of incarceration or supervision, including but not limited to. And it goes on to say state parole, sheriff's parole, electronic monitoring program, and any form of virtual jail, post-release. And it goes on to say, and if you read that and reread it and read it, I kind of see how the interpretation got changed to the fact they have to be off of probation for 18 months, but that's not the case that's ever been. I've been working in recovery for 26 years. When I started working in recovery, Mick Hall was a supervisor over probation. Okay? Judge Hoover had drug court going full swing. So my very first job in recovery was transporting people to Hoover's court or drug court. I brought a couple people, I thought, past clients that's benefited, and I brought a new client that's now interning for me. And I want to say this before I get really emotional, so I got some buzzwords here. Me and my wife, the night that I heard, or the day that I heard, I went home to her, and you know, I've worked with three treatment providers before Freedom House. We started Freedom House January of 2001. So we talked about all the clients that we've had in the last 26 years. We have former clients that now work at the Gate Team, L Street Clinic, Kern Linkage, Steps, several prisons, several providers, and their pastors or worship leaders, and the majority of these clients would not have qualified under this proposal or the guidelines that probation is trying to put on us. And so I talked to a few friends that worked at the county, and they said, Lynn, if you feel this, right, then you need to take it to the CCP meeting. Yeah. I think it might be a better conversation that I sit with probation and have a conversation, because basically any and everybody, because 95% of my staff at Freedom House and the Tara Lynn House went through our program. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I'm a firm believer in clean time. It does not say in the guidelines amount of clean time they need to have. Mm-hmm. And that's big for me. I think they need to be actively working on their own recovery. But if I was to wait, I'd say 18 months is good. That's a good guideline. Away from their last criminal conviction. I usually wait till about 14, 15 months, and I give them what I call limited, right? And they start helping with the chores, chore monitoring, roll call.
Ask you to bring your comments to a close.
Rapidly. Pardon?
If you wouldn't mind wrapping.
Yeah, I can. And so I've got Mr. Eric Marquez. He's now interning with us. And then I've got one more.
Okay. Before we go to the next, we have referred your question to County Council. And I'm not sure if you're ready to have an opinion on that yet. It's under review about your question about the second part. So, yeah. We do plan on responding back to you once we get better. We
it's
get
important.
A different opinion, for sure.
I'm about to retire.
Yeah.
Right? Excuse me, I've got lung issues. Mm-hmm. Come on up here, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Eric Marquez, E-R-I-C-M-A-R-Q-U-E-Z. Okay, I'm Eric Marquez. I was sober in jail for a year. When I got out, my plan was to stay sober. I didn't even make it out to the train station without getting high. And I knew, I was on the streets for a week. I knew that I didn't want to go back down that path because I knew I was going to end up in prison or county again. So I come on probation officer, they put me at the Freedom House. And since I was there, I took a lot of classes at West Tech, even though I know I was going to do the oil fields. I just wanted to start working on my recovery at their meetings. And being there, I saw a lot of people that suffer from mental health with drug addiction, and I couldn't believe I was part of that because I used to, you know. So now, being there, I enrolled in Cal State, I'm a full-time student at the extended program, and I want to be part of the solution, not the problem anymore. And also, I finished the program. My time was up, and thank God Trent Lynn gave me a chance to stay there, because if I hit the streets, I don't know what I was going to do. So right now, I'm an intern there, and I'm a full-time student at Cal State.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Good morning.
My name is Dina Ackerman, D-E-A-N-N-A, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. I think some of you guys recognize me. I actually spoke about 6-7 years ago on behalf of AB 109 funding at the county supervisors meeting, and I've also spoken here a couple times before too. I just want to qualify really quick. So I started out with Mr. Lynn coming from Laredo, and I was criminally justice involved. And since then, due to the AB 109 funding, and then probation gave me a scholarship to college. And it was because of those opportunities that I got around a year clean, or a year out of jail, a year, but not a year off paper, but it was, I was off probation. I was also put on a local advisory committee at BI and was served on that board. I was also placed on the local advisory committee for Prop 47 as on a board member. And I have taken my probation scholarship and turned it into 5 associate's degrees. And in about 6 weeks, it'll be a bachelor's in sociology with a psychology minor, and I'm headed to a master's program in criminal justice. Everybody in this room, thank you for everything that you've done. And you guys all played a part, one way or another, in my recovery. And everything that I've done since then, I have been able to work on a committee. I wrote and proposed a bill. It was supposed to go to Sacramento. That's my big Super Bowl. But it was COVID, so I did it over Zoom. But I did propose write and propose bills for ban the box on housing applications, because I had realized that it's 7 years clean. I'm living in the ghetto, right? I have a very good job. I have an education. My credit's impeccable, and I'm having to dodge bullets. So instead of complaining about it, I went and got on a committee. It's all of California's Project Rebound. We wrote and proposed a bill, and we wanted to be a part of a solution. Of course, now it goes back and forth. You know how it goes. It's still in the works, but this is my thing. The experience and everything that I've learned along the way doesn't stop in my recovery. It stops until I do something about the change in the community at which at one point I was the problem. But I just wanted to thank each and every one of you guys, but I want to let you guys know I am now a substance abuse counselor also, and I do recognize and understand that there is a humongous gap in support for addicts at about a year. There's not really much from a year on to support anybody's decisions. It's basically sink or swim. And I want to let you know, if it wasn't for the opportunities that I was given by BI, by this man right here, by all of you guys at just a year clean, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I just wanted to thank you.
We have a pre-provider meeting before the CBO meeting. And I brought it up, I brought this up, that, and there was 5 of us there, 3 of us are owners, the other 2 work in recovery, and I asked them, would any of them have qualified under the standards that they're proposing? None of us out of the 5 would have qualified.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman.
And I just wanted to say this also. I said, can you imagine where we would be? You know, because I'm in that boat. I would not have qualified under this. And one said, I'd be dead. So some of our choices or proposals are life-threatening. And thank you for letting
me
talk.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And we'll just, again, Mr. Huckabee and the other providers, we're getting counsel's opinion on that, and we'll share that with you as soon as we have it. We'll get a response to you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jeff, J-E-F-F. Last name is Bellissimo. B as in boy, E-L-L-I-S-S-I-M-O. Took up half my time. I'm a licensed clinical social worker with Second Call out of Los Angeles. Second Call stands for Second Chance at Loving Life. We are a agency, nonprofit agency designed to save lives by preventing and intervening in all forms of violence. Started out in 2006 as hardcore gang intervention. I'm actually involved in that myself. And we started expanding our services towards helping individuals coming out of jails, coming out of prison, proven risk, parolees, probationers, and helping them get into union construction careers, but first putting them through a healing process that deals with unresolved trauma. Some of the programs we currently have, we provide domestic violence and anger management through referrals from probation, parole, things of that nature. We have a community ambassador program where we are the first alternative to 911 in non-life-threatening circumstances down to the Merck Park area, Compton, and Linwood, the K-Line, basically protecting certain areas of the community. One of the ways that I hope to be of service here in Kern County with the agency is domestic violence, anger management, and residential treatment, probably, hopefully, with the AB 109 program. I'm also a product of residential treatment. I have 15 years clean and sober. I only say that because I really appreciate the testimonies of the people speaking. I started out going back to school and had the support of having a safe environment to heal in. And so I look forward to meeting you all. I have some flyers, brochures, things like that to explain the services that we at Second Call have. And really appreciate being here in Kern County. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Any other public presentations? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three, chairperson's report. The only report I have is just a reminder that the implementation plan will be voted on in June. Information will be sent out soon for preparation for that. And then moving on to item number four, CCP committee member announcements or reports. Any of the committee members have any announcements or reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number six, which is funding proposals for additional fiscal year 22-23 AB 109 growth funds. And so we have some, if you remember at the last meeting, we talked about, had some additional growth funds in the amount of $991,129. There were no additional department requests received. The recommendation to the executive committee would be to allocate growth funds to the CBO fund for future programs and services for AB 109 individuals in the full amount. Do you have any board member comments or discussion on that? Is there a motion?
Of course, we'll make a motion to make a recommendation to executive.
All right.
Ellis will second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment on this matter? Seeing none, we'll move to a roll call vote.
Chip Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leal.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kendall for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender Kang.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Curtin for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs. Chief Perry.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera. Director Murillo.
Sandoval for Murillo, yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Superintendent Mendeburo.
Amanda Thomas for Superintendent Mendeburo, yes.
Victim Services Coordinator Houston.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Brings us to item number seven, Board of State and Community Corrections Fiscal Year 21-22 and 23-24 Community Corrections Partnership AB 109 Planning Funds. So this is to make a determination for use of funds for those two fiscal years and a recommendation to the Executive Committee. So each year the amount was $200,000 each. And so we'll have some board discussion on what we would recommend to the Executive Committee, and just by note, I'm going to hand it over to Violet for a presentation.
Good morning, board members. Violet Green, Kern County Probation. Every year in December, your board approves the Board of State and Community Corrections
BSCC survey. Once the survey is submitted with the public safety realignment plan, the state provides $200,000 in planning funds. Agenda item number 7 requires CCP direction on how to allocate 2 fiscal years of BSCC planning funds for a total of $400,000. Number 1 is fiscal year 21-22 in the amount of $200,000. Fiscal year 23-24 amount is $200,000 for a total of $400,000. Historically, the CCP allocated funds to contingency and CBO program. And this concludes my presentation. I'm available if you have any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Green? Okay. We have a recommendation.
I just commentary on this. Obviously, this money rolls over, and that's why we put it in contingency. $400,000, I think it's, in the past, we've done a CBO contingency just for the mere fact. It's not enough to launch a new program or anything, but if something breaks at the jail or there's a need, the new computer system the DA and public defender needs, or a CBO, I know they have infrastructure too. To me, that's always made sense, just because it's like funding that's there, it's not ongoing. And, we hope we're going to get $200,000 every year. There's no guarantees in the state, so that's my opinion.
All right. Thank you.
That's all. Just my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Corson. Any other comments? Okay, so I think hearing other comments and hearing past practice, I think the recommendation to the executive committee would be to put $400,000 in contingency based on these 2 years. And I'll take a motion on that recommendation.
Motion, Kinzel.
And a second?
Second, Terry.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote on this as well.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Counsel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
McCurt for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs. Chief Carey.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera, Director Murillo.
Sandoval for Director Murillo, yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Superintendent Mandiburo.
Amanda Thomas for Superintendent Burrow, yes.
Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. It brings us to number 8, Assembly Bill 109, Public Safety Realignment Fund Balance. And we have a presentation by Alex Alba and Joseph Ariola from the County Administrative Office. I'll turn it over to them.
Thank you, Chief. Morning, members of the committee. My name is Joseph Ariola. I am a Senior Fiscal and Policy Analyst with the Kern County Administrative Office. I'm joined by our Assistant Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Alex Alba. The purpose of this presentation is to provide information on prior year AB 109 California Public Safety Realignment Act of 2011 resources, available carry forward resources, and a recommendation for its use to enhance programming, security, and community safety while maintaining fiscal stability and sustainable practices. We are also joined by Mr. Eric Nisbet and Amelia Diaz from our office. Alex will present more detail and some prior year history, but to summarize just briefly, in fiscal year 2019 through 20, your committee elected to reduce AB 109 revenues in anticipation of a decline in COVID-19 pandemic resources. We exceeded our future allocations from that point, 2021, and the state has since backfilled us, and we've had growth. Furthermore, actual growth in 2021 and 21-22 outpaced estimates by about $1.3 billion. Our reconciliation of prior year funds has identified over $15 million available for allocation. More with that history and some recommendations to your board is our Assistant CFO, Mr. Alex Alba.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning. As Joseph mentioned, my name is Alex Alva, and I
Joining you guys today from the County Administrative Office, and I'll be going over in detail of how we got to those carry forward funds and then the recommendation we have for your committee, and then we're looking for guidance and recommendation to bring back to you on what we're going to do with those funds as you guys recommend. So I'll go over the first year, 2019-20 first. So in 1920, as a result of COVID-19 pandemic, California's economy experienced a sudden and dramatic downturn, which impacted your sales tax revenue. What was shaping to be a surplus turned into a deficit. The Department of Finance had made revisions, estimated projected 2011 realignment sales tax to be 13.4% lower than the base amount. And then under 2011 realignment, the mental health account is guaranteed to receive sales tax revenue of $1.1 billion each fiscal year, regardless of whether 2011 realignment sales tax revenues are growing or declining. Therefore, due to the reduction in sales tax and mental health receiving its full allocation, it created an additional reduction to this account. So, let's see if I can go back. So in 2011 realignment, what happens is we have a base amount, and in this example, the base amount would be 100. So say our county receives $100, we only receive $90 in 1920. We're owed $10. We always remain, we always keep that base amount. In 1920, all we received was that actual receipts of $90. The following year, what you have is in your $90 starting off, and then the state owes us that $10 if it materializes. It did, sales tax also runs across two fiscal years. The receipts come from September to August. The Auditor Controller has to accrue 2 months of revenue. In any normal year, the Auditor Controller will accrue up to your base amount. However, as in 1920, due to the precipitous drop and projections to be below base, the Auditor, with the guidance of our sales tax consultant and actual data estimates, had to base their accrual on the prior 2 months actual receipts. This led the Auditor Controller to a 23% reduction in your revenue for the fiscal year 1920. Your committee was aware of that revenue reduction and also reduced your expenditures accordingly for 1920. And then so following 2021 fiscal year, you started off at a much lower base amount. Your base amount was $38,264,706. That was the base amount. And in any normal year, what happens is we come back, you guys meet again as you did today, and increase that base amount for the growth that comes in. In this year, 2021, due to the uncertainty in revenue, there was no adjustments made for any change in revenue projections. All that was adopted was this $38.2 million, and an adjustment was made only for the backfill of $2.74 million from the state. No adjustments was made for any projection in growth, or no adjustment was made for any increase in base. So in 1920, the reduction was actually in expenditure was more than the actual revenue that came in. The actual revenue that was reduced was only 1-3% in revenue. In 2021, that also had that carry forward amount because there was no adjustment made for the actual growth or the increase in the base. It stood at $32.6 million. You can't see that, but I promise you there is a number in there for Kern County. There's a $2.7 million, yeah, trust me. That there's a number in there of backfill that we received. That was allocated to all the respective departments accordingly to the plan and to what was would have came in normally as regular sales tax receipts. That was allocated to each one of your departments and helped fill that gap of where you were at the prior to where you were at in the current year in 2021. So what happened in 2021, there was growth, but we don't see that growth until 21-22. What happens with the growth first is it goes to your base restoration. So 1920, we missed base. 2021, We have your base, but they have to bring you, the state has to bring you back to your base. So before growth is allocated, base restoration is allocated. So it brings us back to our base, but that doesn't happen until 21, 22. So now we're 3 years behind. So we receive that revenue in 21, 22 for 2021, plus you receive that growth. So we never came back to this board or this committee to allocate any additional funds. So 1920, your departments were held to the allocations due to the or to the revenue reductions. In 2021, you had the backfill, and that's all that it was adjusted for, that $2,769,540. You didn't allocate the additional amount that actual receipts. And then the base restoration and of $700,093.61. That was also distributed to our county, but that was in 2021, so that would have been in fiscal year 21-22. So those 3 years, with all those adjustments and allocations that were done, we have a total of $15.3 million. The actual amount we have is $15,320,015. Is what's available for allocation and distribution from your committee. There's an additional amount that we have listed on there as well, was $468,776.76. That amount is in a separate fund. It's in fund 22109. What that fund is if that amount was given to the counties at the start or the onset of 2011 realignment as startup funds. There has been disbursements from that account of in total of $1.154 million, and it went to a couple different departments. It went to sheriff, probation, behavioral health for reimbursement of actual expenses during those years. However, what's remaining there is two additional amounts that were distributed from the state to be able to use as your committee sees fit. That did accrue some interest, so the total in that fund and available to you is $468,776.76. I went over a little bit about growth, and Joseph touched on it as well too, and that'll go towards our recommendation to the committee. As you see here in 1920, there was no growth. We have an estimated amount that we were going to receive, and this is just growth. This isn't your base, but this impacts your base, and this is statewide growth. So in 1920, there was zero. And you see everything else before that, before 1920, the highest amount was $302 million. In 2021, due to the shift in consumer spending and the stay-at-home orders, consumers went from services to taxable goods, and then you see that unprecedented amount of $864 million in growth statewide. That increases your base. So that $864 goes on top of the base and gets distributed to all counties. We thought that was the best it was going to do. However, we were wrong. It went to $1.1 billion in growth funds. Again, unprecedented, and indeed, combined the rest of the months, it wasn't something that the state or anyone else was projecting at that time. That's what grew in 21-22. So now what your base is at for next year is about $64 million for your committee. It's going to be harder to hit your base amount now because of the level of growth. Maintaining that sales tax and that spending is going to be difficult. And this was just another representation in a bar graph. You see 1920. Well, we estimated there's zero, and then 2021 to 21-22, what the actual growth is there in that line green compared to all the other years. This one is actual sales tax statewide for the current year. So in the year we're in, we're actually, when compared to last year, we're below the actual receipts. Not much, but it is less than 0.25% lower than where we were at last year. And you see the biggest amount there in February. February sales tax is 2 months in the rear. So February is the month we really look at how consumer spending and then where our sales tax projections are going. So February, December, we were hoping that amount was gonna be higher or more than the prior year. It's a little lower. So we are monitoring it at this moment. We're not projecting not to meet base, but we're not projecting much growth. And as you can see from this year, you don't have much growth in the prior year as well. So it's gonna be difficult trying to even meet that base that is elevated now due to the prior year's growth. That concludes my comments on where and how we we got to that 15 million. Joseph is going to go over that actual amount, the carry forward plus the other amount in the startup funds of $15,794,037, and our recommendation to your committee.
Thank you, Alex. The Kern County Administrative Office requests the guidance of the Community Corrections Partnership and the Executive Committee in the development of an allocation of prior year carry forward reserves. Once approved by the Community Corrections Partnership, it will be included in the fiscal year 2024 through 2025 county budget, subject to approval by the Board of Supervisors. Presented here on this slide before your committee is what a full $15.79 million allocation would look like if allocated along the same lines as the annual budget and carry forward and growth funds. It is the recommendation of the County Administrative Office, thank you, to allocate at least 17% of the equivalent of what would be prior year cash flows. That's roughly 2 months, based on GFOA identified best practices to protect against a short-term fall in revenues. We recommend 2 months of cash flow. That is not this, but this is just to illustrate what a step down to 50% would be. It is the recommendation of the County Administrative Office to reserve that 17% within your contingencies. That's roughly $10.8 million. To be exact, $10,888,100. And a maximum of no more than $16,011,912. That's roughly equivalent to 25% of annual cash flows. And that was identified by the state auditor in a review of Fresno County, Los Angeles County, and I'm going blank on some of our other counties. I believe Alameda was included in that group. That concludes the report from the County Administrative Office, and we look forward to receiving the recommendation from the committee. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Alex and Joe, for the presentation. Open it up to discussion from the board. So, of the 15,794,037, the recommendation would be to put 10,880,100 in contingencies.
That is correct, Chief. If I may clarify, we are looking for guidance for adoption by your board at the next meeting in June.
Sure.
With the remaining AB-109 funds for fiscal year 24-25.
Okay.
But yes, our recommendation would be to start at the 10,888,000 and go up to potentially the 16 million.
Any other board member comments on this?
Right. Does your staff have any? I mean, obviously, you guys have probably been in more communication with Joseph's office. Is there any staff recommendations on this as well, or are you leaving it to the guys that actually know math?
Yeah.
That ain't me.
Yeah. No, I mean, we would concur with the recommendation of using it for contingency at some percentage, and then having the remainder possibly go out as part of and be voted on as part of June's meeting, and it seems to me we would treat that separate, like we would treat a growth fund, the amount outside of what we would settle on as contingency, because it's not going to be rolling money into the base or anything like that. It's just that kind of like a one-time pot of money here, so. We would concur with having the portion of it put into contingencies from our department standpoint, and then the rest be out for departments to allocate and propose for June's meeting.
Can you explain to me why 50% would be allocated to contingency?
So
I mean, you did a little bit, but.
Thank you, Mr. Kinzel. 50% was just an illustration of what that may look like. What we are proposing is actually more than 50% of the 15.7 million. We are proposing a minimum of 10.8 million, up to 16.01 million to be reserved for contingencies. And the purpose of that is because this is one-time carry forward excess reserves, it gives us an opportunity to, in one fell swoop, just reserve that GFOA identified best practice 2 months of prior year actual cash flows into contingencies. As Mr. Alba said, we are unlikely to have growth for some time due to the exceptional growth in the prior 2 years. So this would be the opportunity to just take that money away, reserve it for future years in which we do not need even our base.
So is the thought this is give us the opportunity to do what we should have been doing all along? What, or is it having the contingency?
Well, base? In a way we have done that. We are reporting what is available to your board, and this would be a more transparent way of reserving those funds.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For clarification, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Also, really quick, to that as well, is there is an actual contingency fund. You do that every day as you're, or you do that during as part of your normal process when you do a percentage to your department. It's very small, but it is a percentage that goes into that contingency fund. And this year you did use that contingency fund. You used it, you allocated an amount this year for a program. So that year there was an allocation from that contingency fund, but you do allocate a percentage when you do your CCP plan.
All right, well, hang on, real quick. Any other comments from the board? Then we'll go to public. I'm not hearing any, so go ahead, come on
up. Okay.
Yeah.
Karen Briefer, ETR analyst. Just for quick clarification, my understanding of it is that there would be no downside to putting this money in contingency. If there's a need for it, it comes out of contingency and then gets reallocated somehow by a process. So that's exactly what contingency is for, right?
Absolutely.
So there's no downside to putting it in there.
There's no downside to putting it in contingency. It's still available to us. It doesn't
go
away.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this? So do we have a recommendation to the executive committee? It'd be between spending some and saving some, or putting it all in contingency. And it wouldn't be voted on until the next meeting, but we recommend this to the executive committee.
Of course, I'll make that recommendation to the executive committee.
Ellis will second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any additional public comments?
Just for clarity, what is the motion?
The motion is to make a recommendation to the executive committee to look at putting the money in contingency, and I guess in June determine where those dollars may go.
So is that all of it, or is it the recommendation of the 2 months worth of operating? I forget exactly how you worded it, but
yep.
That's the recommendation is?
Yeah, I think the recommendation is to put at least the 10.8 that Joe and Alex talked about in the contingency, recommend to the executive committee to at least put that amount in with the option of departments being able to submit proposals for the remainder based on the allocation formula.
And just one quick question on that, since I made the motion, Greg brings up the point here. Why not the 16?
Yeah, no, if that's the recommendation, we could do that.
Would there be a downside of putting it all in a safe place all at once? Joseph, opinion?
Yeah, there's no downside to it.
Thank you, Chief. Yeah, through the Chief, there's no downside to reserving it in contingency. Those would just be more available funds for future use.
Was your recommendation originally, though, that it was to have a portion set aside for potential one-time funding projects, correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay.
That being said, I'll stay with, I'll make a recommendation to executive for the 10, and if executive decides more, that's okay. So.
And historically, if proposals aren't received, then
right.
You know, the remainder could always be voted on and choose to go at the end of contingency. We start with the minimum. Yeah, we have a motion and a second, and we can do public comment. Yep, come on up.
My name is Andy Trigo, and I represent the Lincoln Police Department.
Can you spell your name real quick, just for?
It's T-R-I-G-O. First name P-G-G-I-E. Hi everyone. This is my first time at this meeting, so I apologize in advance if I seem a little out of touch with what we do or how we do it. I know that there are many, many entities that are dependent on the funds, and I know you mentioned that there was no downside, but a potential downside would be that entities that are dependent on funds would be provided with how many funds are available and not know how much is in contingency, and it affects planning. If I'm not correct, please correct me, but doesn't it affect planning if there's a certain amount of funds available and there are entities that are dependent on the funds, and we say you have $100 to do something, but over here there's another 500 that people don't know about or have to go through a process? So does it or does it not affect planning when we elect to put funds in contingency or reserve, for lack of a better term? And is the, I think you said historically that is what is done, that funds are put into a contingency and then people go through the process of requesting the funding. And I'm not even familiar with what the process is, but does it make sense what I'm asking and how is it a potential downside in not letting the entities that are dependent on the funds know, or giving them the impression that there is an operating budget while we're tucking money away? And I'm all for having money tucked away.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'll try to explain it as best I can. So every year in June, we'll approve an implementation plan based on the base funding that Alex talked about. There's an amount that the state says, you know, that counties will get, and that's the base funding. And then there's a formula on how much of that base funding goes to each department. And then a little later on in the year, there's potential for growth funding. Doesn't always come, it sometimes comes. And that's also allocated by the percentages that were approved by this department. So what contingency does is allows us to be nimble in case of something that comes up, an extra need. I think in, might have even been the prior meeting or the one before that, there was an additional need for spaces at a local provider's area because we had a waiting list. And so the board was able to be nimble and use contingency funds to fund those extra spaces. And so everyone will have their operating budget based on base and growth. And then and the contingency helps us to be a little nimble.
Chief, excuse me one second. There's five cars that are about getting ready to be towed. Orange, white Cadillac, Ford Taurus.
Sorry, we were just notified by the Camex Bank that they want to tow away some vehicles that have been there an extended amount of time.
Oh, like so my orange truck?
An orange motorcycle.
Oops.
It needs to be moved. Sorry, Chief.
Yeah, you're fine.
A white Cadillac, license plate 9 George 2 Boy 276, a county vehicle W0276, and a Ford Focus, license plate 8 Adam X-ray Frank, Adam 74.
Right.
If they could move their cars, please.
Just
sorry.
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They got told
there. And for the record, we can't use contingency funds to play towing bills. Anybody in these meetings, that would not be allowable. So.
Sorry.
So I hope that makes sense. It sounds like we have a recommendation from Corson to the executive committee to allocate at least 10.8 to contingency, and then let the executive committee decide with regard to sending the remainder out to the agency for proposals. Correct. And we have a second from Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
And we've heard public comment. So without any other comment, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Yes.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Yes. Counselor Zimmer.
Sorry. Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
McCurdy for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs. Chief Terry.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera. Director Murillo.
Sandoval for Director Murillo, yes.
Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Superintendent Perez. Chief Workforce Development Officer Ellis.
Yes.
Superintendent Mendeboro.
And the Thomas for Superintendent Mendeboro, yes.
Victim Services Coordinator Houston.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. Brings us to number 9. Our next meeting will be held Wednesday, June 12th at 8:30 a.m. in this room. And we will adjourn as the CCP at 9:26 a.m. We'll reconvene to executive in a minute. Thank you, everyone. We'll go ahead and convene the executive committee of the CCP at 9:27 a.m. And we'll go to a roll call.
Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Here.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Counselor Zimmer here.
Public Defender Kang.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
McCurdy for Sheriff Youngblood.
Director Burroughs. Chief Terry.
Here.
All right. Thank you, Violet. And we have consent agenda items, CA1 and CA2. Take a motion on approval of those items.
Motion, Kendall.
Second.
Second, McCurtain.
Second, McCurtain. Any public comment on those? Seeing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? None? Okay. We'll move on to item number 3, public presentations. Any presentations from the public on any matter not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll go to item number 4, executive committee member announcements or reports. Any executive committee member announcements or reports? Seeing none. Brings us to item number 5, the funding proposals for the additional fiscal year 22-23 AB-109 growth funds. It was recommended by the full CCP to have the full amount, $991,129, go to the CBO program. Any discussion from the board? Okay. Entertain a motion on that recommendation.
Motion, Kinzel.
Terry, second.
Terry, second. Any public comment on this? Seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Kendall for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Kirk for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs. Chief Terry.
Yes.
Okay. Which brings us to item number 6, Board of State and Community Corrections Partnership AB-109 Planning Funds. So the recommendation from the full CCP was to put $400,000 in total, $200,000 from each of the two fiscal years discussed, into contingency. So with that, I will take a motion.
Motion, Kinzel.
Second.
Terry, second.
All right, any public comment on that? Seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leo.
Abstain.
District Attorney Zimmer.
Angle for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender Kang.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
McCurdy for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs. Chief Terry.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. And this brings us to item number 7, which was the presentation on public safety realignment fund balance. And the recommendation from the full CCP was to put 17%, which was equated to 10,888,100 dollars into contingency, and then receive proposals to be voted on at the next meeting in June from the agencies involved. If I got that right, Violet, does that sound like I worded that appropriately? Okay. And that way it gives us the opportunity to send out information to agencies on how much they have to propose. So, any further discussion on this? All right, we'll entertain a motion.
Terry, motion.
Kurt, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional public comment on this? All right, we'll do a roll call vote on this one.
Chief Dickinson?
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leo?
Yes.
District Attorney Zimmer?
Kenzel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender Kang?
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Kurt for Sheriff Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs? Chief Perry?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Our next meeting will be on Wednesday, June 12th, following the full CCP, and we will adjourn at 9:32 a.m. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.